critiquing because they are, I mean, they have been point on for the last 3 weeks, intermittent. But I tell you what, it's hot. It's hot to talk about. They're awesome.
Praise God.
I just can't say enough.
All right. Station ID right now. A little wild there. I don't know what that was all about. I think I got the opening of some other show there accidentally. Anyway, welcome back to Living the Good Life right here with us on TanTalkNetwork.com. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and with me is Betty up in Indiana, Betty Thomas from Connersville, Indiana, part of our church up there that I pastored, Cornerstone Ministry, also part of Beacon of Hope Now, and Dr. Angel Falzoni, my co-host on our Thursday night Go Yard show, also part of this radio team. Welcome to you both. Betty, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. We just have a time frame we're supposed to do that station ID on. But thank you for talking about the Facebook post. And I love doing them. I don't always get them done every week. Sometimes it's every two, depending on what's going on with all of my businesses. So anyway, it's kind of hard sometimes. But I hope they're a blessing to you all, the Facebook post. And if so, jot us a comment or a note or a like. That's always cool, too. Angel, do you have anything you want to say about the Facebook posts or anything else there on that?
Oh, I love the Facebook posts. They're kind of like the bow on the present. They just wrap up, you know, so many times, just that practical, bringing scripture into practical life, everyday life, and they're great. And I know Anthony, who lives in Alaska and can't access church up there, their church closed down. When he was stationed there, that's his church every time you post. So
that's cool.
I am so grateful that you take the time to do that, because I know it touches our lives.
Well, it's a blessing. And we've been doing it since the middle of January of this year. So there's probably at least 40 to 50 posts out there. So Marcia McAllister posts, or go to Beacon of Hope Ministries and look for the Beacon of Hope that has the lighthouse. It's a lot of colors. That's our distinguishing way to know that that's Beacon of Hope. And they're all there, too. So we just want you to get the Word of God down on the inside of you. We're glad that you're joining us today on Living the Good Life, second hour. And it's Betty Thomas's birthday. Angel, it's your turn to sing happy birthday.
You do not want me singing, but happy birthday.
All right.
I know what I can't do. I can't sing. I did not get that gift.
All right. Okay. So she knows she can't sing. I don't know about that. I don't think that's true. But anyway, if she wants to cop out to not being able to sing, well, we'll let her do that. But happy birthday, our dear friend. And it is a joy. And if I knew how to do the applause thing here in the control room, I'm going to learn that this week, so I'll know how to do that and be able to do that. But anyway, we do cherish our friendship with you, Betty Thomas, our dear, dear friend. And we hope your day is very, very blessed. And we are blessed because you're sharing part of it with us. And we know you have to get out of here at 4:30, so we're just glad that you're with us for as long as you can today. And I want to go back to this practical point that we were making before we do this next song. The practicality of God the Father sending his son to earth to walk around this earth, to heal the sick, to preach that our broken lives could be healed. All of that because he loved us so much. Angel, you want to comment on that? And then Betty, before I get the song ready, the next one, go ahead.
I just think the practicality of it's amazing. Like, to put God of all creation wore flesh for our benefit. It wasn't for his benefit. It was for our benefit. To me, that, like, my mind can hardly wrap around that humanity. I mean, that he would do that for us, that he loves us that much, that, you know, Christ walking there as a human, caught colds, had, you know, accidents happen. I mean, he was a carpenter. I'm sure he hit his thumb a few
Probably
times.
Probably did, but, yeah.
You know, the God of creation loved us so much that he wanted us to be able to relate to him, that he became human for us, is amazing to me.
Totally. Woo, Betty, quick comment before we do this song.
Well, I think that John 3:16 says it all. I mean, we quote this quite
all the
frequently.
Time. Probably all the time.
You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And again, we've talked about this and we talked about it, and we're just going to knock it home, is that
yes.
The Lord, God send his son to die for you. And I think that that says so much, is that who would sacrifice their son for me?
Wow.
God did. God Amen. Sacrificed his son. And again, his one and only son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish. Here's the key to have everlasting life.
Mm. This is a great song coming up by the Rupees. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Haven't played this song for a few years. Let's hear it. I think it's going to be a help to you right now.
All you can see is this trial hanging like a cloud over you. I know you've endured for a while, and now wonder how you'll get through. In the midst of the darkness, in the raging wind, you can find the strength to look to him.
Praise God. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. He'll take you through the storm. There was a line in that song that really hit me today. Every struggle has purpose. Every struggle has purpose. It wasn't easy for Mary to follow this direction and to probably be shunned and talked about in town. And it was a struggle, but it had a purpose. And in our own lives, let's make this personal. Every struggle has a purpose. I've been through a lot of difficult things this year, but I can tell you that every struggle this year has caused me to grow in my faith in God and to get I don't know, more purposeful, I guess. Angel, talk to me about that, because your big words are purpose and passion. And I feel like that has happened to me this year through the struggle. I wanted to play that song because no matter what you're going through out there, dear audience, God has a purpose for the struggle. Every struggle has a purpose. Talk to me, Betty, then, or Angel, then we'll go to Betty.
It's very true. And I think when we're in the struggle, like, we just hurt and we just can't wait to get out of it because it's hard to be in a struggle.
Yeah, it is.
Life is full of struggles, and the struggles can strengthen us. They strengthen our faith. They strengthen us personally. They help us to have more compassion and empathy for others and to help them go through their struggles. And it helps us to know who's getting us through that storm, who's holding our hand to a storm, and having, you know, some of the most deepest, most intimate times I have with God is in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the struggle. And
isn't that true?
They're amazing.
Oh my gosh.
Really,
isn't that true?
You look through, you're like, wow, we got through this, God. Okay. We're okay.
You know, and I love that about the fact we have 2 hours for this show where we can take these events of the Christmas story and make them personal to us. Talk to us, Betty, because that's what it's all about. God wants to be involved in your life, dear audience. God wants to take those struggles and cause you to see the purpose and what he's doing in you as a result of the struggle. Talk to us, Betty Thomas.
Well, I think there was this pastor who back in October of last year had told us three very important things for our listeners to remember.
You're going back to the revival that I preached up in Indiana,
ma'am.
Are you not? Yes, you are.
I had to live
those words, Betty. I've had to live those words this year. But go ahead. You share, please. Please share.
Well, one of the things that we need to do when we have issues with life, if we have problems, is to thank Jesus for them. Because that's what helps us to persevere. That's what helps to build our faith. Because, number two, God has a promise.
Mm-hmm.
And once we write that, and you told us to write it down, because, number three, there is a provision or a resolution.
There is.
And what we do is we pray through. We pray through the storms. We pray through the hard times. We continue to trust the Almighty God that what he says he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to look through my notes when that song was playing about, you said that without an impossibility, what is that quote that you...
Well, you can't have a miracle unless you have an impossible situation.
And all things are possible.
Yes. All things are possible.
And that's what, you know, that's what the angel told Mary. And it's true for Mary. It's true for us today, is that if we just hold on, if we just have faith and we have the hope and we have God's mercy and his grace following us.
Yes.
That we continue to shout and praise God. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. Thank you, Lord God, for the provision or the resolution to what we're going through. And we just, and it's just, you know, I mean, I can preach to you. Hold on. Just keep holding on. Holding on to that, to your faith. Because God is ready to do something mighty. I'm going to say to both of you and to our listeners, God is ready to move.
He is
going to move mightily.
Yes.
As he's done for centuries.
Yes.
In people's lives where they thought things were impossible. And if, you know, again, quoting that scripture, if God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
And one of the things that we fight against is that, you know, is the devil trying to tell us that, you know, these doors are not going to open for you, that, you know, there's famine, there's all of this going to come upon you. God says it differently, is that I am with you. Do not be afraid. Trust in me. And it's one of those things that we have to come to grips with. We've got to understand that God will see us through.
Yes, he will.
God will see us through.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because that whole teaching is so amazing that when you have a problem, you should thank God for the problem. That's what you're saying. And I said this to a couple people in this last week. I said, even though this last year has been hard for me, the last several months, I mean, it's been a gift from God. And that's hard for most people to understand, that problems are actually a gift to us, because it causes us to focus back on His promises and watch His provision develop from there. Talk to us, Angel.
I agree. They are blessings, and it's hard to see it that way, especially when you're in it, but they really are. Going through it, it gives us opportunity to see who we are inside, and to have learn to trust God for something different, for something new. They stretch us. They stretch our faith.
They do.
They stretch us personally, and it's what develops us, you know, kind of problem to problem. We are being refined through that process and being more developed and becoming more Christian. I know I feel that way, that I can see, you know, more of that fleshly desire kind of shed every time I see God come through for me in a different way. And
yes,
it may not be the
yes.
way I thought He was going to come through, but He does it in His perfect designed way to bring us to where His purpose is for us, not our purpose for us.
And that takes us perfectly back to Luke chapter 1. And it's about verse 38. Where when the angel says to Mary, nothing you see is impossible with God, Mary says this: yes, I see it all now. I'm the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say. In the New American Standard, it says, behold, the bond slave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. This is what God wants for us. God, let it be for me according to what your plan is, what you have said, you have decreed over me. Lord, I want that in my life. I want to fall in line with the plan and purpose of God. This is the greatest thing about Mary, because Mary said right there very, very clearly, okay, I see it. Be it done to me according to what you say. I buy it that there's nothing impossible with God. Go ahead, make me pregnant by the power of God Almighty. And when she got in line right here with the will and purpose of God, then the miracle happened, because there is nothing that's impossible with God, and you can't have a miracle unless you have an impossibility. Woo! Talk to us more, Betty, about this.
Well, it just showed you that even in the most unforeseen things that could happen, is an angel came to Mary, and he explained some impossible things to her.
Right, impossible.
It seemed impossible, but once her faith, I mean, there's something clicked. Something just...
Yeah, clicked.
Something just, it just went into motion. It just, it, you know, it just set it in motion. And she's going, this is from God.
Yes.
This is from God. I will accept it, and I will do whatever the Lord wants me to do. And, you know, he's a gentleman. He doesn't expect anything out of us, out of the ordinary, because we are human.
Mm-hmm.
We do make mistakes. But he's willing to say, I forgive you.
Right.
And we have to trust. And that's you know, it sounds like such an easy word to say, but it's a little harder to actually practice it in our own lives.
Oh,
because
we've
seen things, you know, just spiraling out of control, and we're thinking, okay, you know, where's the off switch? I need to turn this off for just a few minutes just so I can gather, you know, just catch my breath. And God says, I am your breath. If you will just breathe and let me take the reins, you know that song, Jesus, let Jesus take the wheel.
Right.
And you quit driving and quit making me your co-pilot and make me your pilot. Things begin to just fall into place,
mm-hmm.
just a little bit at a time, so
yes.
that we can see the impossible
become possible.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's our own fear, doubt, and belief. When we look at, and we'll just talk about it a minute, in Luke chapter 1, the beginning part, the angel Gabriel shows up to Zechariah, who was a priest, and doing his priestly duty, which was to pour incense, you know, and all this in the Holy of Holies. And he only did it one time in his life as a priest. And this was his moment, his defining moment. This was the moment, just like we're talking about Mary's moment. This is Mary's moment to say, all right, I'm on board with your plan, God. Be it done to me according to your word. Zechariah, on the other hand, when the angel came and said, I'm going to give you and your wife Elizabeth a son, even though you are old and you think it's impossible for me to do this. And Zechariah's response, which is crazy, is said to the angel in verse, I think, 18 of Luke 1. Zechariah says to the angel, do you expect me to believe this? I'm an old man. My wife's an old woman. Talk to us, angel. Zechariah shows right here that the faith wasn't there, even though he was a religious priest.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic, I think.
I think so, too.
There's a lot of irony in there, but you're right. He didn't, you know, that humanized. And I don't want to fault his reaction because I think it's like so many of ours. And it goes to show that, you know, God is still God, even, you know, through our humanness, even through our doubt and our fears and our insecurities. God still has his plans and purposes and fulfills them. And that's where his grace is. You know, because God still used Zechariah and Elizabeth to bring forth John the Baptist.
John the Baptist.
He did not use them because of their reaction. He just had to, you know, close his mouth so he could make sure he wasn't spreading naysaying and doubt and fear, I think, into Elizabeth. I think it was a protection.
Oh, I totally agree. That's what happened. Because when Zechariah says to the angel, wait a minute. Do you expect me to believe this? I'm an old man. My wife's an old woman. The angel said, I'm Gabriel, the sentinel of God, sent especially to bring you this glad news. Good news right here. But I am in verse, 1920 of Luke 1. But because you won't believe me, you'll be unable to say a word until the day of your son's birth. Every word I've spoken to you will come true on time. God's time. Talk to us, Betty, because I know, Betty, you got to get out of here in a minute. So go ahead and talk to us here before you get out of here. Don't go anywhere, Angel. Angel, stay put.
I think that once you see something through your eyes as being impossible, your brain starts telling you it's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But when an angel tells you that you're going to receive this, it's like, okay, now you've got to see it through God's eyes. You've got to see it through a heavenly perspective, because once God has talked to you and spoken to you, he's not going to take it back.
No, he's not.
He's not going to say, oh, I'm an Indian giver. We're not going to do this. What God says he's going to do, he's going to do.
Right.
And I can't find any of my notes from last week, but it was talking about when God tells you he's going to do it, then he tells you he's going to do it, and then he shows you that he's going to do it. It's a three-step process.
Okay, let me go over that real quick. Okay.
Can you go back over that?
I will, for thousands of years, starting in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, God the Father begins to lay out the plan for the Messiah. Genesis 12:3, he says that this person, this Messiah, would come and bless all the families of the earth. Okay, and then it goes all the way in through all the Old Testament. There's many prophecies of the Messiah coming. So here's what happens. Here's how God works. God tells you what he's going to do. That's step one. He says what he's going to do. And some of you out there have promises that God has made you. I've got so many, it'd blow your mind if you could see them all. God tells you what he's going to do, okay? Then, step two, he does it. And that's what we're talking about here at Christmas. He did it. He sent his son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So point two is, then he does it. Okay. And then step three is he reminds you when you get little doubts and when you get kind of weary and all that. Hey, wait a minute. Didn't I tell you what I was going to do? And then didn't I do it? So step three is then he reminds you that he told you so. It's an I told you so thing. So God tells you he's going to do it. Step one. Step two, then he does it. Okay. And then he says, didn't I do it? Okay, Betty, your final thought before you get out of here, before we can do this song by Wynonna.
Well, that's I think that's what Zachariah experienced.
Right.
Is that the angel tried to tell him.
He tried.
He tried. Yeah. He said, listen, dude.
Yeah.
This is the way it's going to be. And then, like, oh, you know, here comes the doubting. Oh, well, I don't believe it, okay? I'm going to, you will not be able to say a word until the time comes when you can have enough faith and trust in me to know that what I'm saying, what God is saying to you is true. And then, you know, as time goes on, then God did remind him. He was able to speak again. He reminded him, I told you.
That's right. I told you so.
I told you so.
You know, if only we could get these principles down on the inside of us to such an extent that we're walking on faith like nobody's business. I mean, that is my prayer for me this year, that these principles, that I act like Mary, you know, Mary, be it done to me according to your word. Yeah, Lord, whatever you want, I'm on board with that.
Amen.
You know, talk to us, Angel, before we do Wynonna's song, It's the Messiah.
You know, I think it's amazing that Zechariah's response, too, because I was sitting here thinking about it. If he was a priest, he knew scripture. He knew the prophecy. He knew what happened to Abraham and Sarah and knew that God fulfilled those in their, you know, older age and brought them a child. And to all of a sudden, when it became real, when it became in his world, start doubting that.
Right.
To me, it was just like, wow.
Right. Isn't
wow.
that interesting?
We go through that. We go through that times. I think there's a lot of times, you know, we feel like we really believe God's word or we really feel like we believe God's able to do it, but then we don't believe it for us personally.
That's exactly right. Woo, we're going to go on with that in a minute after this song. Betty, a final thought before you get off the air. Angel, staying with me.
Angel, stay with her. I think one of the things that we have to remember is that that Jesus is the reason for the season, and that once we understand how much God loves us, that things will change and will turn around for those that love the Lord. And I thank and praise God for both of you in my life. And I hope and pray that in the next few days, weeks, and months to come, that God's things that you've been hoping for will come to fruition.
Amen, and we love you, and happy birthday, our dear friend Betty, also known as BLT, like a sandwich. Betty Lou Thomas, BLT.
Yes.
We love you. We love you. We love you. It's the Messiah.
Yes, we do.
By Wynonna.
Thank you. Love you guys.
Thank you, Betty.
It must have been something being born in a manger.
Love this.
With a sheep from the fields and a star shining over your head. It must have been something. Seeing three wise men on their knees before a newborn, with their eyes all aglow, and in their hearts they know it's the Messiah. He's come at last. It's the Messiah. He's come at last. must have been something. Speaking the word of your father. With the promise of life and peace forever. It must have been something. Walk on the streets of Jerusalem. With the sins of the world on the innocence of a man, soon everyone will know it's the Messiah. He's come at last. It's the
played it last week again. I think I might play it next week, Angel. It's the Messiah. He's come at last. And that's the good news right now. The Messiah has come. There are people around this globe who don't believe the Messiah has yet come. Yet all the prophecies from the Old Testament were fulfilled in one person. And the chances of that are 1 in 10 to the 14th power that all the prophecies concerning the birth and then also coming up, the coming second coming of Jesus, to be fulfilled in one person. It's totally mind-blowing that all of this, God said it, and then he did it. I love it. Talk to us, Angel.
It is absolutely mind-blowing when you think of the statistical probability, and right. That's how God works. He's mind-blowing.
Because it's an impossibility. He takes an impossibility to create a miracle, and that's what he does over and over again. I want to go back for a moment to Zechariah, because Zechariah's response here, as we said, was one of unbelief and one of doubt. But he goes home, and he goes home, and he can't talk. He's speechless. We know he was speechless until the baby John was born. By the way, God, through the angel, told him to name him John. And this was John the Baptist, who was prophesied in the book of Malachi that the forerunner would come, the person that would announce the Messiah. And we know that was the purpose and the function of John the Baptist. You can find that in the book of Matthew, that story, and in John. Very interesting, John the Baptist, and how he baptized. He baptized Jesus. They were cousins, and he baptized Jesus. And here he is. The angel talking to Zechariah, he sends him home. He goes home, and in about verse 23, 24, his wife Elizabeth does conceive a child right away. And she goes off by herself for 5 months, relishing her pregnancy. And she says, so this is how God is remedying my unfortunate situation. I love that quote of Elizabeth, Angel, because it's talking about giving God the glory for the fact that she had been barren all these years. Talk to me about that.
You know, you're right. That's a beautiful quote. And almost within that, feels like she believed all along that something, God was going to step in somehow miraculously.
Yes.
You're right. And that culture for a woman not to have a child was a very shameful experience for a woman. And so she knew, I'm sure she cried that shame and her heart's desires out to God for so many years in such a heartfelt way. And I don't feel like she doubted he wasn't going to come through for her. She was just, yes, this is how he's doing it.
This is how he's doing it. Yes. This is how he's doing it. Did God hear their prayers? Did God hear their prayers?
Oh, he heard all of his their prayers. And then on God's timing, he had a purpose. He has a plan. And I think that's where sometimes we get lost, you know, as people, is that, you know, we have a prayer to God and we don't see it immediately. So we think he's not listening or he hasn't heard or he doesn't care. And that's not true. It just may not be. The time may not be where God's plan is for us at that moment.
And we see this so clearly here about God's timing, okay? I mean, when you go back to Zechariah, this was the one, he had one time as a priest in his whole life where he was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies and spread the incense. That was the only time ever. And it just happens to coincide with the announcement to him that he and his wife, Elizabeth, are going to have a child. They're going to name him John, and that he is going to be a very special young man, because he says here that he will achieve great stature with God. In verse 15 of Luke 1, he'll drink neither wine nor beer. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit from the moment he leaves his mother's womb. He will turn many sons and daughters of Israel back to their God. He will herald God's arrival in the style and strength of Elijah. He will soften the hearts of parents to children. He will kindle devout understanding among hardened skeptics. He'll get the people ready for God. And with that amazing description, and as you said earlier, Angel, this was a priest. He knew there was going to be a forerunner to the Messiah that would get the people ready for God, yet his response is, do you expect me to believe that? Talk to me, Angel.
Well, I think it just really boils down to, you're right, we would think the priest should have really been able to accept that, okay, this is God's plan. We knew this was going to happen, and he chose me, and feel that, wow, moment, but instead feels that, like, oh my goodness, moment, can this really be? Is this going to happen kind of thing? Kind of goes to, I think, how so many of us would probably respond in similar situations. And then that God still follows through his plan. His grace is still there. And instead of saying, wait, Zechariah, you doubted me. Forget it. I'm going to pick someone else. It's still faithful.
And it's because Elizabeth and Zechariah had prayed to God for many years to have a child. And we know that they did that because it says right here that they did in Luke chapter 1 that they were childless and they were old, but they had been praying. I don't know where I saw that, but they had been praying and believing God, and it sometimes God answers not in our timing. Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I think kind of rarely God answers it in our timing.
Oh, rarely. Why is that rarely that happens?
Well, you know, because God's got divine plans and he's got divine purpose, and he sees the beginning from the end and the entire purpose for it. And we don't get to see that. We don't have that perspective. And we just see this now moment. And especially now, I think in our culture, we have like so little patience, you know. Even when we go to read stories in the Bible where we see where they pray and then God came through, you know, there's 40 years they were wandering in a wilderness, you know, before God gave them the promised land. We don't realize that time frame. That's holding on. God's timing is perfect, and he gives it to us when it's within that divine plan and purpose. And not to give up the faith just because it doesn't happen the moment we ask.
But so many people do that very thing, Dr. Angel. They do give up when it doesn't happen in God's timing, or in their timing, I mean, when it's getting ready to happen in God's timing. How often do we perhaps short-circuit the blessings and the answers and the promises being fulfilled by our own unbelief and doubt?
Oh, I think we probably do that so often, and we're not even fully aware that we're doing that, and we can't afford to do that. We have to build our faith. We build our faith in God so that we can trust that his timing is the perfect timing, and we can stand firm in those promises. And that's why we have to, you know, read our scripture, go listen, go to church and fellowship with believers, and build our spirit and our faith, because when we're not doing that, we're not going to hold strong in our faith.
That's exactly right. And so we have to keep faithed up, as Cindy Logan likes to talk about, one of our radio contributors. We have to stay faithed up because we, you know, we can lose that faith, that place we are. So often in a church service, we just feel, we feel God's presence so strongly, and we feel that he's moving in our lives, and our faith increases as we sing songs about faith or sing songs about the greatness of God. And then we get out and we, it's Monday morning, and we get kind of, we kind of leak out that presence of the Lord instead of keeping it strong. Talk to me about that.
You know, you're right. We do. It kind of reminds me of the time that I was praying for the filling of the Holy Spirit. And I remember going to church and just praying. And I really desired to have the filling of the Holy Spirit. And it didn't happen when I first prayed for it. And someone had given me an amplified Bible. And I was reading Matthew 7:7, where it says, you know, ask and keep on asking.
Right.
So I took it literally and I just kept on asking. And it was probably 6 months before God filled me with that Holy Spirit. And it happened in the middle of the night, not at a church service.
Wow.
And my uncle were in the middle of the night.
Wow.
But that's what he's wanting from us. And I, you know, keep on asking, keep our faith strong. He hears it.
Exactly. And so often we get so caught up in the, well, it didn't happen, so I guess that's it. I didn't hear right, or God didn't tell me that, or that wasn't from God, or I don't know. My faith is gone. I don't know what, I guess God isn't real after all. You don't you hear this from some people in our lives, that they are just very down on God because they feel like he allowed their parent to die or their child to suffer or this or that or this or that. And we can come up with all kinds of reasons why God isn't powerful. But do we spend as much time thinking about the fact that he is? That he is the God of the impossible, that nothing is impossible with him, that all things are possible with God, every single thing?
When we need to spend time thinking that, I think sometimes we kind of think of God as this great big Santa Claus where, you know, we ask and we get whatever we want as soon as we ask him for it. And that's not how God works.
Right.
You know, God's purposes are spiritual and divine, and ours, you know, or could be a lot more selfish and humanly. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we go through tragedies. We live in a fallen world. We
right.
are going to go through hard times.
Yes.
We're going to, you know, leave us that we truly love and we want to have them, but it's not God's fault.
Right. But it happens so often that when we are hurt or we feel that we have suffered a huge loss, I don't know who I'm speaking to out there, but listen to me very carefully. Just because life has happened to you, you say, but this was my mother, this was my wife, or this was my child. You don't understand. Believe me, Dr. Angel and I both have suffered some serious things in our lives. We are not saying, we are not minimizing your pain. We are simply saying that instead of concentrating on the loss or the pain, it's time to put our eyes and our faith in Jesus. God the Father fulfilled every promise for thousands of years. He promised the Messiah was coming, and then he came. Talk to me, Angel.
Absolutely. And he knows the depth of the pain that we're experiencing, and he has the healing balm for that pain that we're experiencing if we just give it to him.
Amen.
And bring it before him and trust him with it. You know, he gave his son. I mean, to me, that's the greatest sacrifice could be made in my human eyes can see, is a child, giving your child to be sacrificed for others. Like, that to me is beyond
comparison. Yeah, it's hard to believe. Yeah.
I mean, if I'm, you know, one of those moms, if something goes down bad with one of my kids, I'm like going to be out there and fighting, you know, your kids, you're so protective, and that he knows that pain and that loss. Like, that is such a great loss and such a great sacrifice he did for us, for our love, and knew that so many people wouldn't accept it. So many people wouldn't surrender to him, but he did it anyway. You know, that we just lay those hurts down before him, bring it to him. He's got that healing balm.
Amen and amen. Listen to this song, God Hears, by the group New Song. And before I play it, I woke up hearing this song first on my Pandora this morning, and it was a song about Jeremiah 33:3, which we often refer to as God's phone number. And it says this, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. In other words, you have no idea right now what God's going to do in your life. Call to him. Call unto me and I will answer you. God gave that promise to Jeremiah and now it is for us too. Jeremiah was in a dungeon when God spoke that to him. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. God hears.
Day would never come. You can't look back. What's done is done. It's just so hard to lose and then go on. When all you had is not enough, it's hard to fall and get back up. When you can't breathe and your heart has lost its song. But there is hope, my friend. You will sing again, 'cause God hears when there are no words to speak. God hears when your sorrow runs deep and it feels like all your faith has disappeared. Gethsemane, that's where he found his victory. When he told his father, not my will but yours. Jesus gave his life to rescue us, and he knew that it would be enough to conquer death and open heaven's doors. Questions come when all you thought you had is gone. When you feel lost somewhere in the silence and fear comes rushing in, don't give up, you're not alone, no, 'cause God is here, yeah, and there are no words to speak. God is here, yeah. His healing runs deep, and all those questions that you had just disappear.
That song, God hears. Oh, there's so much meat in that song. When we feel so down, when we feel so discouraged, and we think that God cannot hear us and he's not hearing us, he is hearing us. Talk to us, angel. Oh, I love that song. God hears. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you don't know about. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Amen and amen, Dr. Angel.
He certainly does hear. And just because we're not seeing the
action right here and right now does not mean he's not working and he's not hearing our prayers and our needs and our desires of our hearts. He hears, and he is paving for his perfect timing to fulfill those in us.
Amen. And so often we let the suggestions of the devil in our minds or through other people say, oh, that's never going to happen. Or, oh, no, God can't hear you. No, you got some issues. You know, God's not going to listen to your prayer, you know. And God is a God of love. God is love. 1 John 4:8, he loves you so very much, dear audience. He loves you, dear listener. He cares about every detail in your life, no matter. You may be going through a divorce. You may be going through severe pain physically or emotionally. You may be heartbroken. Maybe someone has cheated on you. Maybe somebody has treated you terrible or fired you, or maybe one of your children has said terrible things to you. Guess what? God still loves you so very much, regardless of the pain that people and the devil and circumstances put on us. God loves you so much that he sent his son to this earth for you. Talk to us, Angel.
Absolutely, he does, and he did, and he does love us. And, you know, it's so easy to take this. It's easier to believe the doubt than it is to believe the faith.
Why is that? Why is it that we are so prone that we would rather believe the negative, that it's not going to happen, or, oh, this will never work out, or I'm having anxiety because I don't believe it'll happen, or why is it that we are programmed to be so negative, just like Zechariah?
Well, first of all, I think a lot of situations need miracles, and we have a hard time believing for miracles.
Right.
Just the way our brains are wired, I think sometimes it's really hard for us. But I think we have this overwhelming feeling of, like, unworthiness.
Yes. We're not worthy.
And
yeah.
I'm not worthy for God to do something in my life. And so we don't believe he will. You know, and then I think we buy the lies a lot that, I mean, I don't have enough faith, or I'm not Christian enough, or I have some bad habits, God wouldn't do that for me, or I'm not perfect. And not one person God uses in scriptures is a perfect person. There is
That's
no
right.
such thing other than Christ. And I don't think we get that.
You know, faith, and you can write this down if you like, your audience member, faith is acting like God told you the truth. That's what faith is. Did God promise you these things? Did God tell you this? Do you remember when God made those promises to you? Or do you remember that still small voice down on the inside of you that promised you you would have a child? Perhaps you have been waiting and hoping and praying for a child. My kids went through this just the last 3 or 4 years, one of my children, and they believed God for a child. They even lost a child. And they stood in faith together. It was hard. And they stood in faith together, and now that little baby has been born, and he's 4.5 months old, and his name is Joel, and he's amazing. But he came from years of believing God and trusting that God's promises to them to have a child would be true. And the same with Zechariah and Elizabeth. Elizabeth was the person of faith here, because when she got pregnant, she went away and secluded herself for 5 months to keep the negativity away from her. I believe that's why. And to draw close to God, talk to us about that. Angel, we're just about out of time. Oh.
No, I agree with you, too. I think she knew God was going to be faithful to her, and somewhere that he planted that seed of promise for a child. And she didn't want to risk, you know, the negativity, and needed that intimate relationship with God to continue through her journey, because her journey was going to be quite challenging, going through raising, you know, John the Baptist and all that would entail. And
right.
she knew she just, it was her, God gave her the promise. God's going to carry her through.
Yes.
And I think so often we just need to, like, you know, want to tell everybody, and, you know, people aren't ready to hear the things that God are doing sometimes for us, or they don't want
right.
to give God the credit when it's God paving the ways, and then it creates doubt in us.
Right. And so often it's better to keep your mouth shut and not tell people what God is doing or what he's promised you, because people can you know, throw sand on that, or throw whatever, I don't know that phrase, throw something, you know, And just try to keep you from, oh, that can't be God, or that's not God. Are you sure that's God? Or any of that kind of stuff. We need to keep and guard that and only share it with those that we know will uphold and stand with us in that faith thing. So, Dr. Absolutely. Angel, we're about out of time. So give us some final thoughts here before we get out of here.
Well, this was a great show.
It is a great show.
So much. There's so much good meat to this show. But yes. I think just trying to wrap up is that God loves us unconditionally in spite of us. He loves us and he hears our prayers and he is faithful to what he has promised. He will carry out his promises in his perfect divine time.
Oh, so true, so true, so true. That's what it's all about. And, you know, all this, I mean, this is one of those shows you go back and listen to again because, yeah, God spoke some very profound truth here. And so we thank God for this opportunity today, as we always do every single week for the show. Thank you, Dr. Angel, and we will talk with you very, very soon. And thank you, Betty, for your contribution today, too. Amazing and wonderful. So we've got a week until we celebrate Christmas. Make it the best week of your life. Draw close to God. And he will draw close to you. Spend time in your Bible. Go to Luke 1. Luke chapters 1 and 2 will change your life. You believe what it says there, what God says about how this all came about. It will change your life. It really will. Luke chapters 1 and 2. So go there. We encourage you to check out our website, which is www.bohmglobal.com, where you'll find hundreds of our shows there under the radio broadcast. And they are free right there for you to listen to and to grow in your faith. And that is bohmglobal.com. Stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. So www.bohmglobal.com. Encourage you to listen to the show that Dr. Angel and I do every Thursday night right here at the station, 6:06 p.m. Go Yard. We're in our series, The Heart of Christmas. Go to the podcast here on tantalknetwork.com to miss show or to pick up shows you've missed on the podcast. So go to podcast. Go to tantalknetwork.com. Then go to podcasts. Go to Go Yard for our Thursday night counseling show. Go to Living the Good Life for this show. And you can listen. You'll have so many things to listen to. It'll keep you busy for years. There's hundreds. We're in our 11th year here on this show on Sunday afternoon. Fourth year on Go Yard. So there's tons of shows for you to listen to. Tell friends about the ministry here and what God is doing. And as always, use our prayer line, which we forgot to mention today, but prayers at bohmglobal.com. Write your prayer requests, send them in. Betty or Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, will send out a prayer request on your behalf to our team. Prayers at bohmglobal.com. Use it anytime. God bless you. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister and my dear friends, Betty and Dr. Angel, bringing you the Word of God today from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We thank God for each one of you. We hope to hear from you. You can contact me directly, pastor@bohmglobal.com. See you next week. I'm going to be right here, Christmas Eve at 3 o'clock. So it's not far to Jesus. God bless you. Have a great week. Know we love you, and we appreciate you listening to our shows. God bless you. It's not far.